Now we present an encore presentation of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander.
2023 is off to a strong start for consumer spending. Even though the economy started on solid footing in January, the unexpected consumer strength, the tight labor market, and inflation, which just keeps hanging in there, is challenging the Fed to keep interest rates higher for longer. The Dow Jones finished the week down 0.1%, S&P 500 off 0.3%, NASDAQ up slightly 0.6%, and the international index was up about a half of 1%. Right now for the year, almost 8% up. 10-year Treasury closed at 3.81%, up 0.1%. Oil down 3.9% at $76.60 a barrel, and bonds were off about a half a percent for the week. NASDAQ year-to-date is up 12.6%, S&P second place up 6.2%. Markets right now are pricing in the fact that the Fed will most likely raise rates in June. The market is saying that the terminal rate is going to be 5.375%. And that's a big change, as about 3 weeks ago, the chances of that happening were zero. And that was strictly due to the fact that this past week, the January retail sales number rose 3% when the estimate was looking for 1.7%. And what that means is the consumer is just remaining pretty strong here, spending money in retail areas. And the details of those were gains in motor vehicles, furniture, electronics, food services. So there really wasn't any specific category that powered the gains. It was more broad. And so with that reading, all the categories that consumers spend money on, it's pretty likely that right now we're not seeing any material pullback by consumers. And that is driving rates higher because the Fed wants to try and cool that down. So again, what that means sort of near term would be no soft landing, no hard landing. We talked about this last week, the idea of a no landing scenario where rates drive higher, markets get higher, not that much higher, but get slightly higher. And eventually we see some sort of a pullback of some kind. And that leads me to the next part, which is technically, what are the three things that we're looking for to see if we've actually hit a market bottom? All right, so that takes me to my next part of this, which is what are the three technical market bottom signals that I'm looking for, and have we got there yet? And so from a traditional technical market standpoint, here's what they are. The three are the first, which I've been talking about for months now, capitulation. Second, conviction. Third, correlation. Regarding capitulation, it's a difficult concept to measure, but what it basically comes down to, it's behavior that's been part of just about every major stock market bottom we've seen in history. On the charts, capitulation looks like an acceleration lower in prices due to people simply just panic and selling, even though they know they shouldn't. And this is mainly by retail investors. One way we can attempt to look at capitulation is through the use of the RSI indicator, which is displayed as an oscillator 0 to 100 and identifies overbought being above 70 and oversold reading below 30. If we look back to World War II, every major market bottom that followed a 20% or larger decline in the broader market has been preceded by a break below the 30 level in the RSI of the S&P 500 on a weekly time frame. Now, in 2022, the reading of the RSI approached 30 twice, but notably did not break below at either time. For reference, the weekly RSI of the S&P 500 fell to 20 before stocks bottomed in 2002, a reading of 16 prior to the 2009 lows, and 21 during the COVID pandemic. So these are all considerably lower numbers than, say, the 30 mark. So based on my interpretation of the charts and my historic measure of capitulation, the first of the three C's has not occurred, and that's what I keep talking about. Now, when it comes to the second C I'm looking for, that's conviction. And that's something that is most often associated with volume as far as a technical analysis goes. I talked a little bit about this when I was talking about bull traps several weeks ago, but ultimately I need to see rising volumes with rising prices to confirm there's a bullish conviction and that's back in the market. And I'm just not seeing that right now. And so until then, the market will remain susceptible to extreme bouts of volatility and the threat of new multi-year lows, looking again for that capitulation, which we still have not seen. The third C, which I call correlation, and what this looks like is we're referring to derivatives and cross-asset analysis, specifically the inverse relationship between the VIX and the S&P 500. The fact that during bull markets, new lows in the S&P 500 are typically met with new highs in the VIX as hedging activity picks up meaningfully. In the early to middle stages of a bear market, that relationship tends to break down as sophisticated investors, or so-called smart money, sells or reduces their long stock exposure, and then they abandon the relevant and associated hedges along with those. That results in new stock market lows, not causing new relative highs in the VIX, and this is a dynamic we saw several times back over the course of 2022. While a surge in the VIX will also help us identify capitulation in real time, it will also help us identify a bottom as well. Looking back to the bottoms of the dot-com bubble, the GFC, and COVID sell-off, the VIX tends to peak and begin to meaningfully move lower before the bottom in stocks. In the case of 2002, the VIX peaked over a year before the market bottomed. Then in 2009, it was just over 4 months. In 2020, it was a week. But to be clear, we haven't seen a meaningfully rise in the VIX yet, despite the peak-to-trough drawdown of more than 25% in stocks last year. To that point, the VIX pushed a reading of 90 during both the GFC and COVID, while in 2022, it failed to break the 40 mark. In any event, once we begin to see evidence of a real capitulation and the RSI falling below 30 and the VIX running to new multi-year highs likely beyond 40, we should be able to understand that a tradable bottom could be forming as we see the inverse relationship between stocks and the VIX return to what's called bull market normalcy. Bottom line, there's been a growing chorus of analysts, strategists, and investors beginning to say that the October lows are in, but looking at the statistical facts, we have not seen the technical developments consistent with just about every bear market bottom in post-war history. As I said recently, it could be different this time, but it's rarely been profitable to bet on that concept. And that brings me to my market multiple level sector on the S&P 500. If things do get better, we could see the S&P 500 get up to 4289. The current trading range will trade between 3900 and 4100. And if things get worse, which they could, then expect the S&P 500 to get to the 3300 level. The bond market this week also carried the tale of not such a great future in that treasuries, when you look at the 10 versus the 2-year spread, fell to 89 basis points. This was a very low amount that we've ever seen for some time now. And that is something that just to be cautious about, that when the 10-year, as you know, yield drops below what the 2-year does, the market's signaling that there's going to be some sort of a slowdown in the future. And that's a signal that we've been looking at for some time. It's called inversion. And I'd be cautious against thinking that it's different this time, like I said just a minute ago, and that things are going to continue just to grind higher and higher and higher, because at some point, rollovers in the economy take time. And we just have to be patient to see what's going to happen. But bottom line is, since I've been doing this, I've never seen the yield curve this convicted when we consider the uniformity of the inversion across the curve and the depths that the inversion. And while I sincerely hope it's different, the yield curve right now is telling us of a different material economic slowdown. So just be cautious and just make sure that your allocation is aligned with your specific risk tolerance and objectives.
Investment advisory services are offered through Liberty Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The strategies mentioned are not suitable for everyone. The information expressed does not consider your specific situation or objectives and may not be appropriate for all investors. Past performance is not indicative of future results. To better understand the risk associated with investing and how it reacts to different market conditions, listeners should always consult with their qualified investment professionals, financial advisors, legal
legal or tax specialist and conduct their due diligence before making any financial decisions or taking any action. The legal information provided on the air is not intended to substitute for callers hiring their lawyers to advise them about personal legal matters. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Liberty Group LLC paid for the following program, and the host's views and opinions do not represent those of the station or its ownership. California Life Agent number 048569. Persons engaging the services of one affiliate of Liberty Group LLC companies should be aware that each company is operated separately. You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.